We are back in business. We are back in business. Episode 42 of Consistently Above Average is here. It's dropped fresh out of the oven from our high-end production suite located in the northeast of Ireland, Dundalk, County Louth. This is the most informative, inconsistent piece of jiu-jitsu-related content, podcast in audio form recorded in Leinster, you are likely to hear today. I'm back from America. That was a trip in itself. I have a lot of working backwards to do before I can even tell you about that trip and tell you all about it. As we gear towards what I am going to officially call season two of this podcast, I'm being very strict. We are back to weekly episodes, I promise, from this point on. Potentially even bi-weekly episodes. And while I do think that sometimes it's a very good idea to be teaching or training at extreme ends of the day, either early in the morning or later in the night, that might be the case when you throw your naps in and you rest and recover. But trying to get other stuff done in and around that is not the most feasible thing that I've ever done in my life. So the podcast has suffered as a consequence of my attempted lock-in. Didn't really count for much last weekend, but again, we'll chat about that in a couple of episodes' time. I wanted to focus on one thing for this episode. It's a shorter episode than usual. Bite-sized to ease you back in. I say bite-sized now. I know I'm going to end up waffling for about 20 minutes anyway. So we're going to talk about the Emerald Cup. Regular podcast listeners will know I'm a big fan of anything that happens in the Sport Ireland campus. It is the place to be. And I do actually have an opinion. Even though they have been in DCU, I think, for their last little couple of tournaments. We're gonna launch a t-shirt. We're going to launch a hat. Keep Grappling Industries out of Sport Ireland campus. Keep your piss-stained mats somewhere else. Not in the Sport campus. Not where the Olympians are. Not where the High Performance Centre is. We don't have time for that. Barefoot, walking around, onto the mats, on and off the mats, sitting on the floors. Nothing wrong with sitting on the floor, actually, but just none of that. We want our little plastic barriers. We want biased gi and no gi checkers. We want yellow and blue mats to be located in the Sport Ireland campus and at the Sport Ireland campus only. Now, there have been other IBJJF Dublins in different events. There have been Irish Opens in different venues and stuff like that. I know that. It's a very hard venue to get. It's not like it's empty all year round. But I'm just saying, you go to an Ireland BJJ, as in the organisers, Ireland BJJ event in the Sport Ireland campus, you're going to get a good product. You are going to get a good product. And they are so consistent on that side of things that maybe they should be called consistently above average. Because that's what it is. I will admit, this tournament felt more like the Irish Open than this year's Irish Open felt like the Irish Open. I think the smaller hall, it's still huge, but I think the smaller hall, when there's a good crowd, creates a much better atmosphere, a much more exciting place to compete, because you have the bleachers that are so close, so you can have people watching matches from the bleachers and stuff like that, as opposed to the venue with the running track. The running track doesn't hold a great venue, it doesn't hold a great atmosphere, which is understandable considering it's probably like, it must be like six times the size of the other hall, comfortably, six or seven times the size. It is huge. And I think if I'm going to go like on a tier list option, like we're very lucky that we have two IBJJF Dublin events a year. This year, we're also getting the first ever Nogi Kids Europeans. That's more than likely going to be in the big hall, in the big athletic hall. That's the visual that the IBJJF want for those type of tournaments anyway. The bigger venue, the bigger stuff. I would also say that logistically, like I'm just being very pedantic here, I don't mean it. You probably couldn't safely fit all of the people who did the Irish Open this year into the smaller hall anyway. Like, if you could have wedged them all in, the atmosphere and stuff like that would have been insane. But sometimes it just feels like it gets lost a little bit in that big running track venue. maybe in the next year or two, the Irish Open is going to grow so exponentially that you require that bigger venue. And then it's just the atmosphere comes up alongside with it. But my experience was from the Emerald Cup that the atmosphere at the Emerald Cup was brilliant. And the how packed it was, how many competitors it was, they had to shut early because they reached the registration limit. There was a lot of people there supporting. And I think that's a good sign of the smaller tier tournaments that this federation is running. It's not just the Irish Open that's big. The Emerald Cup and the Shamrock Cup are getting bigger year on year as well. So, as I said, back to the original point, walking into the Emerald Cup. Am I calling it the Emerald Cup and it was actually the Shamrock Cup? Is this going to be embarrassing? I feel like I should Google that right now. Emerald Cup, Smooth Comp, Ireland BJJ. Shamrock Cup, Smooth Comp, Ireland BJJ. Oh. Have I been calling it? Yeah, I've been calling it the Emerald Cup. It was the Shamrock Cup, which is a perfect indication of why you should not take me seriously. This is not a legitimate media source. This is not a legitimate news source. This guy does not know what he's doing. The Shamrock Cup. Apologies to the listeners. And guess what? I'm on a timeline. I am not changing that. So, warts and all. My original point, walking into the Shamrock Cup earlier on in that day, seeing how many kids and teens were there competing, very wholesome. Parents and grandparents alike there to watch them compete in the sport they have absolutely no idea what is going on in. Excellent. Old school phone cases being flipped open to film and get pictures of the younger generation, to get the pictures of their kids or their grandkids with their medals. Very nice visual of the sport. Something that, in my opinion, should have been really highlighted. You can't really highlight that, well, unless you had like a documentary crew filming the tournament. That's what I would have honed in on. That's the wholesome social clips. That's the memories that the kids and parents and grandparents and all will remember. I thought that was so, so good. Top marks, 10 out of 10. Really like seeing that. Okay. Now, for clarity, I have zero involvement with the kids program in the gym that I train at. Zero involvement in the teens program either, with the exception of those who attend our competition classes and who do a lot of the training within groups of themselves, or some of the older ones who are rolling and training now more with adults. If they're going to be competing, then I will be there. And my general feedback is that I find a lot of the interactions, watching how kids and teens interact with each other in the bullpen is great. And what is actually a polar opposite is watching how like coaches behave in coaching, or how friends or whatever behave in supporting. Like the kids are actually in there like making friends. They're in there being like, oh, are you Andrew? Yeah, I'm Andrew. Oh, I'm Brian. We're competing against each other. Oh, nice to meet you. Where do you train? Like, there's way more interaction from the kids and teens in that bullpen than there is from the adults. Like, I lost at the Pan Ams last week. I didn't speak to your man once before the match. I was chatting away to him afterwards for whatever reason. I remember I had a match against Espen Mathiesen, and I was like, I can't talk to Espen Mathiesen beforehand. And he came up and he was like, oh, hey, are you Andrew? He's like, oh, yeah, nice to meet you. He's like, that man knew he was going to win already. Obviously so. But like watching how these like young adults or kids and teens like handle themselves in that environment is exceptional and is a credit to their coaches. I feel that maybe certain coaches, and I'm not even saying like certain coaches as if I'm saying this as one person in particular. I'm just saying this as like sitting in the crowd listening to some of the stuff that you're hearing. Whether it's coming from parents who don't understand the sport, whether it's coming from like friends who are there to coach, or maybe like coaches within itself. But like, please, 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 this is not a witch hunt. This is not to be put into ChatGPT. By the way, side note as well, if you're going to use ChatGPT for your posts. If you're going to use social media posts for ChatGPT, here is a very free tip. Google what an M-dash is. Type it in, E-M-D-A-S-H. An M-dash looks like a hyphen. A hyphen is a horizontal punctuation mark. It's the little line. An M-dash is two of them put together. It's generally used in the United States of America. We do not use it over here. You would have to do something insane with your iPhone or your keyboard to be able to even to type an M-dash. However, ChatGPT uses it as standard. So if you see a post, and I really should have been recording this part for the social media clip. I'm going to stick my camera on. I might use this as the social media clip. As I repeat myself for the audio listeners, if you're going to use ChatGPT for your post, please take out what is known as the M-dash. The M-dash cannot be written on your iPhone. It can't be used. We know this is not you typing it. It is ChatGPT. Delete the M-dash if you want us to think that that post is your post. It's called an M-dash, E-M-D-A-S-H. It's two hyphens stuck together. It cannot be typed unless you're copying and pasting the character. ChatGPT uses it as standard. Please, it's on every meme page I follow. It's on every sports fake page I follow. And it's clear when you're using ChatGPT to make your point. So don't, or continue to, but at least don't insult my, I don't care about the rest of you, don't insult my intelligence. Delete the M-dash. Delete the M-dash. Thank you. Right, we might be longer than 20 minutes here today, but yeah, kids coaching. I have no experience in it. And maybe there is a right way and a wrong way to teach and coach kids. I'm sure there is. And as I said, I have zero involvement in it in our gyms. But maybe parents, like you can see, again, not to say, well, your gym is good and this gym is good. This is me speaking broadly. You can see when a good gym has explained to the parents about what's going to happen on the day, how the kids are going to be brought through. Just leave it to us so that we can cheer them on and coach them and support them because they're used to hearing our voice. Maybe they shouldn't be hearing their parents' voice, telling them X, Y, and Z in a heightened state of anxiety and emotion, and then that translated into the kids. Like, and maybe it's also that I just don't like seeing like young people get upset and losing, because you do see quite a lot of that at these tournaments as well. And you see them getting upset. And unfortunately, one person has to win and one person has to lose. I do think that the quicker kids learn that, that sport will be better as a whole. That's 100%. But like when you hear like the hollering and whooping and like, yeah, that's, to me, that's the unnecessary part. That's the thing that could maybe sometimes put somebody off from competing again in the future. So, like, again, I'm coming at this perspective from very little to zero involvement in kids and teens classes in our gym. Some things are different. I've never had to interact with many parents in terms of navigating their kids through the sport. I know some gyms like have, say, zero tolerance policy. No parents can watch the classes. You're not allowed in the gym when the classes are happening. You can sit in the reception area. There might be a monitor. You can watch it on that. No parents on the mats, no parents coaching from the mats, no parents filming on the mats, no parents filming the training session, all of those things. Like, to me, they seem like pretty standard rules, but I don't know what's done everywhere. I don't know what the prevailing orthodoxy is, if you want a pointlessly large word inserted into the podcast for that. Okay? So, let's move on to the adult portion. These events are incredibly well run. I've said that the whole way through. Even when we were talking about these events last year, I said that as well. There is a couple of inconsistencies which are always going to happen, and you can't really do anything to mitigate those things. You're starting to see like a lot of more familiar faces of the people who are working at the tables, the bullpens, the referees and stuff. Obviously, you would hope the referees are consistent and the same ones as well. And I'm not even saying, like, I think the bullpen is something that like just bothers me from a perspective of like seeing how maybe other tournaments are done and how like this is something that can be fixed. But it's also like take into consideration, let's play the empathy card here for a minute. A lot of the people who are organizing divisions and going looking for people, they're young adults. They might be late teens. They're being asked to walk around and in front of a group of strangers, in front of a group of an adults, and project loudly to shout out people's names. This is what has to be done. It's not always what's being done. A person can go hiding in a bullpen very easily. A person is not actively seeking them out. Like, this is like a note if you are competing in the future. Have eyes locked or know where your ring or mat coordinate, your mat coordinator number is, what number mat you're on. They should have a visibly displayed number on their jumper. They're going to be looking for you. They may feel a little bit anxious about shouting your name out, looking for you. Maybe you have a silly name like Andrew McGahan. Who's going to be able to pronounce that? Like, this is things that happen at these tournaments sometimes, okay? So maybe the athlete can also go a little bit of a way to bridge the comfort and find the person. But while it is not an easy thing to do, I do believe it could be done a little bit better. I'm also a bit 50-50 split opinion-wise on this next thing, because the people that are going around competing with their rash guards turned inside out is not a good look, especially when there are people being turned away and told to get a new rash guard and they're not allowed to compete. So why was one person allowed to turn theirs inside out and why was another person told to go and get something else? And there is a huge grey area here though, because the IBJJF tournament organization do not allow white belts to compete in no-gi divisions. There are no IBJJF no-gi divisions at any tournament in the world for white belts. This is to prevent sandbagging or experience in other martial arts competing against a legitimate white belt who's only learning Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Therefore, there is, by the technical definition and letter of the law, there is no uniform requirement for the IBJJF white belt divisions. That is because there is no IBJJF white belt divisions. Simple. Now, you can't afford to run with that attitude in Ireland because a large portion of your competitors are going to be white belts. So they are going to be competing under IBJJF rules at the tournament, but technically they will not be competing under the IBJJF uniform rules as they do not exist. Previously, this was the same for kids. However, now there is a no-gi portion that has been announced and ran for kids where uniform rules are required. So this is a public service announcement for anyone that will be entering their kids in the no-gi Europeans this year, which is taking place in Dublin. If they are grey, yellow, orange, green belts, they will need to wear a rash guard that has at least 10% of their ranking colour visibly displayed. Otherwise, they will not be allowed to compete and they will be disqualified. Again, for the people in the back, kids competing at the no-gi Europeans this year, because the no-gi pans have happened for kids, plenty of no-gi kids tournaments have happened in America. This is in place already. You need to have, the rule is, an athlete must be wearing either black or white rash guards and shorts with minimum 10% of their ranking colour displayed. That 10% of the ranking colour displayed is on the top, on the rash guard. The shorts can be completely black or completely white. The top must either be black or white rash guard with minimum 10% of their ranking colour. This can be also a maximum of 100% of their colour. It can be 50% of their colour. I have no idea how the person is going to judge what is 10% of the rash guard material. However, that is how it is written. That is what the rule is. So in terms of this white belt situation in Ireland, I think you either have to have a 0% policy or a 100% policy. What I mean by that is strictly, unapologetically DQ every single person who didn't bother to read the rules, who doesn't know, and it doesn't meet the black or white requirements. And just say, white belts, you can compete in either an all-black rash guard or an all-white rash guard. That's it. We're only going to allow one of those two things. You can do one of those two things. Otherwise, you're not allowed to compete. Sorry, it is on the rules. We're sorry you're annoyed. It is on the rules. Like, we'll send out an email next time. 2026, whatever. It should be blanket, black rash guard, white rash guard, not a turned inside out rash guard. Either do that or allow a free for all. Let them wear their Dragon Ball Z orange rash guard. Allow all of the white belts to wear whatever they want for the Nogi divisions and just let chaos ensue. Like, but just like, even though I'm slagging a Dragon Ball Z orange rash guard, I would sooner wear that and compete in that than being told by some lad, do you mind taking your top off there and turning it inside out and competing it inside out, please? Like, it is embarrassing as a visual. It's embarrassing to the athlete and just the look of it in general. It is especially embarrassing when this is not being universally enforced at the events. And I wasn't going to be that guy. I wasn't going to be that corner man. I wasn't going to be that guy, the worst guy you've ever met in your life. A teammate of mine in the blue belt adult division competed twice against an athlete with a fully white rash guard on. And I know I've just heard the shattering of fine china and cups around the country as people have just dropped their coffee, being like, he had to compete against someone wearing a white rash. Yeah, your man probably should have been allowed to wear a white rash guard. However, the rules are there. The rules are very clear. This guy had to buy a no-gi kit for this tournament, a blue ranked no-gi kit for the tournament. The reality is he could have just wore his white top up because he would have been allowed to compete in it. However, I believe there to have been a degree of bias in allowing that particular athlete to compete in a white rash guard. So I was not going to be the guy to say, referee, sorry about this. I don't want him to compete against that guy. And he'll say, why? I said, well, he's wearing a white he's actually wearing a white rash guard. He's not wearing the correct requirements. He's not wearing the correct uniform requirements. Can you please send him back to the bullpen and get him to change his outfit? Like, I'm never going to be that guy. I might be that guy if you're wearing a criminally short gi. I'll be that guy then. And I've seen referees send people back at Mathside over gis. At majors. However, no-gi, different vibe. However, I do believe your man got a pass. Maybe it was his mate at the gi check. Who knows? But shouldn't have been allowed to compete. All right? Anyway, Christy in question. Christy Cook by program, strength and condition for BJJ. Won double gold in the blue belt adult division. Weight and absolute. Heading off to Rome now in good form. Didn't really matter what your man was wearing. Didn't really matter. 5 wins, 5 submissions. That's good. But the messaging, as it should be from the guys who organize these tournaments, is this is the creme de la creme. This is the best run tournament in the South, in my opinion. Maybe even in the whole of Ireland. But a director of the tournaments has said on their social media before about the importance of having to take a hard line with people who might miss weight and be like winking at you saying like, oh, sure, that's all right. You can just let me in, can't you? Because you know me. Or if people miss the registration deadline and think they can message you because they have your number, or have access to you, can you let us in there? I missed it. You can't do that. And they have said this before. I've praised them for it. I think it's really, really important. It's either the same rules for everybody to keep sport fair, or it's not fair. Then it's not a fair sport. And that's something that I agree with massively. I commend them for taking that approach. However, the hard part of the organizer's job is enforcing this. Logistically enforcing this. The organizers have so much to do on the day of the tournament, of running the tournament. They're not double checking and looking over the shoulders of the workers who they've already given a job to. In the sense that if you've put a worker on the gi check or the no gi check, you assume that the person that they've delegated the job to understands the rules and the responsibilities of their job and they're following them to the standard expected. Could a situation happen where you might know somebody and it's like, go on in, that rash guard's all right? Evidently, this can happen. Otherwise, a blue belt would not have been allowed to compete in a white rash guard. Evidently, this could happen. Or the person didn't know the rules and they just let them in thinking like, yeah, this rash guard looks white. Yeah, you're allowed white rash guards. Go on in ahead. So What I would love to see, because this is linked into what I've emailed them about, I would love to see a portal of some kind on their website that would allow people to apply to work at these events in the next year. I have asked for an official comment and I will update in minute one of next year, of next week's episode, what they've replied, if they reply. I've said, is there an interest in some sort of application tab or portal that could allow people that have no interest in competing to apply to work at these events in certain positions like scorekeepers, table staff, runners, bullpen runners, gi checkers, no gi checkers. You apply for a job online. You tell them what one you want, why you want to do it, what gym you're from. Maybe then you can use it as a social tool to say, we employed people from 15 different gyms growing the gi, growing the sport, growing the community. We are an inclusive organization. We have workers from every single different gym. There's no bias here. Thanks very much to the guys from Cork who travelled up to work, the guys from Donegal who travelled down, the guys from Galway who travelled right, the guys from Dublin who got the bus out. We had so many different workers from so many different gyms. This is a community thing. We're so proud to be able to do this. That's social media goodwill that is free, first of all, and writes itself. Okay? So, now, the reason why the online portal is a good idea, in my opinion, is because if you fail to do what you're meant to do on that day, run the bullpen correctly, do the scores consistently, or let people in incorrect gi and no gi, you had previously agreed to understand your responsibilities. So if you fail to do them correctly, in my opinion, you probably have to pay them, but in a different world, they wouldn't be paid, or they just won't be allowed back to work at these events. And that's how you get a good team. That's how you weed out the people that are doing inconsistent work versus the people that want the opportunity to do consistent work. So to me, I think that's a great idea. There's probably several reasons why it's not. However, I've asked them about it. I've asked for a comment. We'll see what happens. And I'll update you next week. And then to finish off, on the refereeing front, I have been the guy here talking about bad refereeing. Generally very good all day. However, I've been the guy giving off about refereeing when it goes against me or my teammate. Dylan Nooney, teammate of mine, stroked a gold medal. He probably should have won on advantages, but he stroked a gold medal from a guy who I've never seen before because of very poor refereeing. And I think that if I'm going to... He was given 3 points for a pass when he had one hook in on a back and didn't secure the pass and wouldn't have secured the pass. So we're talking double advantage as opposed to 3 points in that situation. However, the downside of this is that when there's no VAR system in place, like you get at the IBJJF now, a match result can never be altered in any way by looking at a phone footage after the fact. Because then, like, if anything, you should agree to go back to that position with the same amount of time remaining and say, right, continue your match from here and we'll go from there. And refereeing is such a thankless job. It's inevitable you're going to get something wrong over the course of the day. But I've been on here giving off when something went against someone I train with or someone I coach. So I might as well be transparent when the blunder goes in your favour as well. And probably helped contribute to Team Tara's getting second place in the no-gi team title as well. Dylan, good man. Thanks very much. Sorry for doxing you. Anyway, the previously discussed clashes of tournaments as well. That was unavoidable. It's not a conspiracy in any way, shape or form. We have learned that there is now an agreed collaborative effort between ADCC Ireland and Ireland BJJ for next year not to run events on the same dates moving forward, which is absolutely great news because that no-gi blue belt absolute deserved to have a lot more good people competing in it, especially for someone who was trying to get a bit of experience before no-gi Europeans. It was looking like my hairline a little bit thin, so hopefully we'll see bigger no-gi absolute divisions next year. The event was an overall success. This is a small episode. He joked at the start of the episode and it's now 30 minutes in. But for the sake of transparency, I have emailed the Ireland BGA team to request a comment on a couple of ideas, like I said, for the people working at the events for next year. And if you are listening and one of those people who have told me in the past you'd like to work at those events, listen to the first minute of next week's episode. Because on next week's episode, we will also be talking about the Ireland BGA Invitational, which happened after the Shamrock Cup. And there was a particular elephant in the room that I believe a couple of coaches were not too happy about. And I have asked for an official comment on that as well. So I won't be giving any opinion or comment on that myself until next week's episode, where I can either tell you this was the elephant in the room and this is what their explanation was for it, or I will say this was the elephant in the room and they have declined to give a comment. So it'll be one of those two things and we'll discuss it from there. So thanks very much for tuning in, for sticking around and helping me through this little period of inactivity. When it comes to this podcast, for better or for worse, I think it is a nice thing that I really enjoy doing. And there have been tens, not just 10, there have been tens of thousands of people who have listened to it since its inception last year, since I launched it, which is absolutely mental to me. So thank you very much for tuning in. I will talk to you next week. Remember, guys, stay consistently above average. Talk to you next week. Goodbye.